This is a different type of budget than we've done in the past.
This week, Governor Andrew M. Cuomo unveiled not one, but two budget proposals. They are, of course, contingent upon how much money New York State receives from the federal government. Cuomo even threatened to sue if the state doesn't get $15 billion. That's the budget gap the governor and budget officials have cited for months.
This budget is really the economic reconciliation of the COVID crisis, the cost of the COVID crisis.
Welcome to the Capital Confidential Podcast. I'm Amanda Fries. I'm here now with Capital reporter Edward McKinley. He is going to give us the highlights on Cuomo's two-part budget proposal.
This year, actually, we didn't just get one budget proposal, but we got two for the price of one. Governor Cuomo's been talking over and over and over again in recent months about how the finances of the state are going to be dependent on how much aid we get from the federal government. And that point was reflected in his executive budget as well, because there's one budget designed in case the state gets $15 billion in aid from the federal government. And then there's one designed as what they're calling the worst case scenario, which would be $6 billion in aid for the federal government. And that money would be coming from a proposed pot of $350 billion in Biden's COVID relief package that he's proposed. Although I have seen some reporting out of Washington thus far that they're not expecting to pass that until March, that senators like Mitt Romney have been opposed to this idea because they just passed about a $1 trillion relief package in December, I believe, or within the last few months. So I think to call it the worst case scenario that New York is going to get handed a $6 billion check, I'll put it this way. I wish that my worst case scenario in my life was that someone would hand me a $6 billion check.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I'm kind of hung up on is there was no scenario if New York doesn't get any additional federal aid, correct?
Robert Mujica, the director of the Division of the Budget, spoke a little bit about that during his press conference. And he was sort of talking about, you know, here's some of the areas that we would need to cut further if there's less or no aid. And those included, I believe it was education. It was additional cuts to funding to like cities and counties, localities in the state. And then the tax hike on those making more than $5 million. Although Mujica certainly seemed reticent to fully get behind that tax hike, he was saying that they would only be including it in the budget if it was needed to balance the budget. So it was only in the $6 billion version, but not the $15 billion aid scenario. And the reason that he outlined for that was basically that New York is very reliant on the tax revenue from its highest earners. I think he said that the top 5% of people who make the highest amount of money in the state provide 60% of the state's income tax revenue. So they want to be careful about raising taxes on those people in case they would just move away, particularly now that telework is becoming more and more popular. So that was a concern. But interestingly, basically right after he said that, there were reporters like myself who were, you know, tweeting out quotes from that. And the deputy majority leader, Mike Giannaris in the Senate, said, you know, basically, good thing the legislature is going to raise taxes on the wealthy no matter what. And then Majority Leader Andrew Stewart-Cousins has said the same thing in the last few days. So it seems really clear that there's an appetite to do that, basically come hell or high water. That's probably the most interesting development to keep an eye on throughout the session, I'd say.
Certainly interesting to watch that play out, if only because if the legislature does include tax hikes on the wealthiest New Yorkers and includes those in the budget, what will Governor Cuomo do when it gets to his desk? Will he veto it?
That's a good question, if they can add that, because I don't think that they could add that to the budget without him putting it in there. I think that there's conversation about doing it legislatively, but by law, I don't know if they would be able to add that as a revenue raiser. But we should definitely talk about the proposed revenue raisers for the state budget, because those, I think, are the most interesting parts of it. You know, the cuts that they're proposing would be to education. They would be to sort of like an across the board 5% cut to the money that the state gives to cities and counties. So there's not a lot of, you know, we're cutting this big flashy program. But the revenue raiser stuff is a little bit interesting. Governor Cuomo wants to legalize recreational adult use marijuana, and he wants to legalize online sports betting. Those are the sort of the two big proposals. And then there's a couple other little things, like, for instance, I think I saw in the budget that they would raise a couple $1 million by expanding the age that people can go crossbow hunting in the state of New York, so that kids who are as young as, I think it was 15, would now be able to. So the governor is, you know, envisioning that that would bring in a couple extra $1 million for the state. But the big ones are the marijuana and the sports betting. And of course, there's been, you know, pushback. I think I saw a statement from Senator James Tedisco where he said, you know, basically the governor wants to cash in on selling drugs and casinos. So there's people that are characterizing those revenue raisers as not the best way for the state to be taking in additional funds. But Robert Mujica has outlined that, you know, when the markets for adult use marijuana and sports betting have a few years to mature, it would be a pretty significant pot of money. He thinks that sports betting could be taking in as much as $500 million for the state a few years down the road. And the recreational marijuana could be bringing in about $350 million. So that's, you know, pushing $1.85 billion, that's a pretty substantial chunk of change. And we should add too that they said that about $100 million of the marijuana revenue would go towards a social equity fund that would be used to sort of pay back the communities that have been most harmed by marijuana prohibition over the years, those being Black and Brown communities in particular.
So obviously we've gotten to this deficit and situation because of the coronavirus pandemic. And the governor certainly took a lot of time to kind of outline New York's plan going forward in his budget address. Within the budget, what aspects are being funded specifically that address the pandemic or respond to implications from the pandemic?
The state is already getting a significant amount of money from the federal government as part of the coronavirus relief fund that was passed last year. A lot of that is going toward Medicaid. There was some that was going to education. And then vaccine distribution is getting some too. So the money that Cuomo is asking for from the federal government is in addition to the aid and the emergency funding that New York is already expecting or hoping to receive from the federal government. He's basically asking for cash to just help us out. So not only just the direct price of the COVID, you know, much like if there were a hurricane, you know, you might say, okay, give us emergency funds so that we can build back the things that were directly harmed. But COVID has also led to people leaving the state, to economic fallout that has led to less money in tax receipts. Cuomo's basically saying the federal government is not only liable for the direct damage, but they have to pay New York for the indirect loss of revenue that this disaster has caused.
Any other takeaways? I'm trying to think of some of the things that I found interesting. And honestly, it's more of, I have so many questions that are left unanswered when it comes to the information that has come out so far. I'm kind of curious, what are your like top questions that have been left unanswered?
I think that's a tough question to answer because I think sort of the point, like since COVID hit, basically everything that Cuomo has done has been to maximize the amount of flexibility that he has to respond. The legislature basically gave him a blank check and said, you know, you're in charge, you can run the show. And I think the through line from that situation to where we are now, you know, he says, here's the budget. It's actually two budgets. And it might be totally different if we don't get this money or if we get it late. So really sort of what he's doing is continuing to maintain the flexibility that he's been given all along. Which makes sense given that, you know, we're still in the middle of the pandemic and there's still a lot of uncertainty. But the big takeaway, you know, there's a picture or a graph in the budget document where he outlines the differences between the $15 billion aid scenario and the $6 billion aid scenario. And this is probably just an important takeaway. He lists the cuts that are included in the $6 billion aid scenario that would be avoided under the $15 billion aid scenario. And those cuts are $3.5 billion to education, $0.9 billion in across-the-board reductions, $0.6 billion in contractual salary increases for state employees, $0.3 billion in other restorations, and $3.7 billion in tax increases that could be avoided, those being the tax hikes on those making more than $5 million.
The executive budget paints a particularly bleak picture for localities, especially those that rely heavily on state aid. I'm now joined by Albany reporter Steve Hughes, who's going to share more on the impact communities.
Albany is notorious for relying on state aid to close its budget gap annually. So what's that looking like this year, Steve?
Same as it ever was, but with a little twist. So right now, the governor is proposing, as everyone knows, two budgets, depending on how much federal aid the state gets. Now, under the version that's been published online, cities and towns that rely on state aid and incentives to municipalities are going to see a 5% cut to their current budgets. That's down from the 20% that the governor had cut earlier in the year. But for next year, they're looking at even larger cuts. So if you take, for example, Albany gets $12.6 million in AIM funding every year. Under the governor's current proposal, that would drop to just over $10 million. So a $2.5 million hit to the city's budget. And it's similar for other cities in the area. I believe Schenectady and Troy and Saratoga are all going to see that similar hit. It's kind of on a sliding scale. The governor has said that it depends on how much of that funding they rely on their budget. So if you rely on it more, you get slightly less cut. If you rely on it less, you get a bigger cut. But as we know, for Albany, there's also that capital city funding. And as always, that's not in the budget. And we will see when and where that pops up in budget negotiations.
I definitely haven't heard anything from state legislators. Obviously, it's early in the discussions, but oftentimes that capital city funding gets slipped in at the very, very last minute, or at the very least once the legislature has their one sheets. So I guess we'll have to wait a little bit on that. But at the end of the day, it sounds like localities need to prepare for there being a reduction in the revenue they receive from the state. So how are localities preparing, or how did they prepare? Because a lot of them are on calendar year budgets, and thus they started their new budget at the beginning of this year.
Right. And that's one of the wonderful quirks of this state, is that there are all these different budget years of when they begin and end. And a lot of them are going to have to be flexible. I mean, I would imagine most of them, you know, once the state said earlier this year, we're going to withhold 20% of your state aid, that they started planning around that. I know the city of Albany did. And to their credit, they have said, you know, in their 2021 budget, they're planning on getting full state and federal aid. The mayor has said that repeatedly, but they've also said we have a backup plan if that doesn't happen. So you're looking at things like, you know, fewer recreation programs or cuts to other departments, but there hasn't been a lot of public talk about how that might look and work. Last year, you know, a lot of cities were warning we might have to cut police and firefighters. I believe Schenectady said that they would have to cut several dozen from each department to help close any such budget gap. So we're going to have to see. Albany's budget is certainly large enough that it could absorb a $2 million hit, but I don't think they want to. But there are some revenue generators in the budget that might help some of the cities and towns that are going to see a cut. But I certainly don't think that it's going to make up that cut in state aid if that does come through.
Anything else you took away from the budget address?
So I think the other things to look at are revenue generators. So in Albany County, they've already done this, but what the state is proposing is imposing sales tax on all vacation rentals, such as Airbnbs, those sort of online rentals that have sucked away sales tax that you would normally get from hotels. The state is saying, no, we're coming after you. We're going to get our money there. The other two are the proposals for, and I'm sure others have talked about this, is legalizing adult use marijuana and sports gambling. So both of those, I certainly don't think are going to be up and running enough this year that they would make up the gaps. And given, you know, the bureaucratic hoops you're going to have to jump through to open up a cannabis shop. It's not going to be a panacea, but those are two areas of revenue that the state is dangling and saying, hey, you know, this is where you could make up some of that if the legislature approves these measures.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with more on the budget. Like what you hear? Check out timesunion.com or your podcast app of choice for the latest episode of the Capital Confidential podcast. You can also sign up for the Capital Confidential newsletter to stay up to date on all the news out of the state's capital. Just visit timesunion.com.
If you're enjoying Capital Confidential, be sure to check out its sister podcast, The Eagle. I'm Jessica Marshall. Join me each week as we take a look inside the newsroom at the Times Union, the Capital Region's oldest and largest newspaper. We'll discuss the week's top stories, and we'll talk to the award-winning reporters who write them. Listen at timesunion.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Capital Confidential podcast. I'm Amanda Fries. So far, we've talked on this episode about a lot of potential negatives when it comes to this year's two-part budget, but there are some promising elements for businesses in reviving the economy. I'm going to have business reporter Larry Rulison break it down. So Larry, what's the key takeaway that you got from the budget address?
Well, the thing that stood out the most to me was the online betting. We're talking about sports betting, which has been illegal nationwide until the Supreme Court changed that rule. And this is a revenue generator for the state, which is good during the pandemic. I think during the governor's address, you know, he said he had to, you know, he had to reset the economy because the pandemic had taken so much out of it. And what was very interesting is he's saying there's going to be winners and losers as the economy shifts. And obviously, one of the biggest things that New York is behind in is online betting. They have the four casinos upstate. All these other states, I think Virginia today started online betting. But, you know, what happened during the pandemic that I thought that was so interesting was like the casinos got closed down, but the state could have moved immediately to do online betting to generate revenue, and they didn't. But now they are. They're way behind other states. Michigan tomorrow starts it. Now, if you live in New York, you technically, I guess, could maybe go down to New Jersey and bet online, but you can go to like Rivers Casino if you want, if you live in like Schenectady and do sports betting. But, you know, the casino's not open 24 hours anymore. People are worried about pandemic. So this is a no-brainer. The interesting thing is Cuomo wants to run it like the lottery. He wants to set the odds himself, like Rivers Casino, which has a nationwide casino network. Like they have casinos in like Illinois. They already do a lot of online sports betting. So they're going to not want to do Cuomo's proposal where he would control it. But that's $500 million that they think they can raise. And then the other thing that really stuck out to me that can raise a lot of money is the recreational marijuana program. Currently, we have the medical marijuana program. You know, it's actually very limited, like compared to other states. But it'll be interesting to see how he does it for recreational marijuana. Because right now, you know, if you go to Massachusetts, which is like, you know, you can go 45 minutes from here, get recreational marijuana in the Berkshires. So for Cuomo to do that here, that'll be very interesting to see how he rolls that out.
I think there was one thing that I really caught me off guard is if we get the $15 billion in yes. Plan B, which is the hope for budget and funding that New York would like to see from the feds, there's going to be, you know, all of these programs that help businesses and various different sectors get back and get started for some businesses that have been struggling, you know, financially because of the shutdowns. You know, what are some relief measures that business owners and industry leaders have stressed are really necessary for them to receive in order to get the economy get up and running?
Yeah, Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And it's gonna be really tough to do if we don't fill that $15 billion budget gap. I'm really hoping that the feds come through with that, because the New York had been in good shape before the pandemic. And if you read in the budget briefing book that the governor put out, it says that the economy has recovered better than in New York than expected, which is great, but it's still got a lot of way to go. There's in the budget this year, there is $130 million of tax credits that are geared towards, now that's not that much if you think about statewide, but right. It's for small business recovery, and it would be tax credits that small businesses could take. And it's geared towards not just small businesses, which have been really hammered, but also the restaurant industry, which has just been decimated, and they really need it. I bet a lot of that, even though that $130 million is a lot, it could go a long way for like a small restaurant locally, like a pizza shop or something. There's also for the entertainment and arts industry, because they have not been able to reopen at all. But they've just been, no one's going to theaters as much as they used to or wants to go. They're going to do the Regional Economic Development Councils this year. And that's a pot of $750 million that they give out each year to the 10 regions of the state. Cuomo's been doing it for, I don't know if this is the 12th year. It's been a long time. But
yeah,
when the pandemic hit, I did a story where the state actually said, I don't know if we're going to do it this year. But it's in the budget. The $750 million is in the budget. So for companies locally that are looking for those grants that they had in the past, those will be there this year, which is great. I think it was pretty smart to say, we're going to bet on renewable energy. So I think there's like 100 different renewable energy projects. Now, they aren't being directly funded by the state, but the state is putting in infrastructure. For instance, at the Port of Albany, they've been supporting efforts by the port. They acquired land in Glenmont in the town of Bethlehem for these wind turbine assemblies. Now, wind turbines have been around forever, but New York State and other states have started selling off the wind farm rights offshore for offshore wind turbines. And these are gigantic wind turbines. In a lot of cases, you can't even see them from the shore. And that's going to open up a huge opportunity. I think the governor is pretty smart to focus on renewable energy, because I think there will be winners and losers after the pandemic. And I think, you know, with the climate worries and climate change, and now that President Biden has gotten back into the Paris Accords, renewable energy is going to explode now. There's also one other huge thing in the budget that I thought was very interesting. There's a $40 million infectious disease resiliency commercialization fund, which is basically a pot of money that to incentivize companies to do research into infectious diseases. And what's interesting about that is, you know, the state is rebuilding the Wadsworth Public Health Lab in Albany.
Right.
And that is exactly what the new Wadsworth facility is going to be designed for, that collaboration with industry on infectious disease, drug development, prevention. So there's some really good things in here, including the up in Lake Placid, the Olympic Regional Development Authority and the all the Olympic facilities. There's $105 million in the budget for that. There's not as much high tech, you know, nanotech stuff in this budget. And I just don't think that's the focus right now. And that's good. I think that we're sort of heading in the right direction.
Last but not least, let's talk education. Reporter Rachel Silverstein now joins me for an overview of how the budget will impact local schools.
What were the big takeaways from the two-part budget proposal when it comes to education?
So last year, for this, the current year, the current fiscal year, state aid amounts remain flat, and school districts rely on two sources to fund themselves. One is property taxes and one is foundation aid. And every year goes up incrementally. For some school districts, if they have high needs, it goes up a little more than incrementally. But last year they remained flat, and during the pandemic it was like a huge blow to the school districts. And not only did they remain flat, but within the budget there was a provision that allowed the executive at three intervals throughout the year to roll back aid to localities and schools because of, you know, the uncertain circumstances. They didn't know how much money they were going to get or if they didn't meet their revenue goals. Luckily, up until now, none of that aid was cut, so it stayed flat. but it still had an impact on schools. A lot of our big city districts had to roll back their in-person learning opportunities for older grades. Hundreds of teachers in the area were laid off. And so I think there was like hope that, you know, for the coming year, we know the effects of the pandemic are going to be lasting, and there's the budget deficit on the school level and on the state level isn't going away anytime soon. So I think there was some relief that, you know, in this budget, you know, even though the state rolled back its support for schools, it plugged that gap with federal relief funds that are directed to school districts from the last stimulus. However, I think that's, you know, the state education department and the regents, they were asking for, the state actually did that last year too. They used stimulus relief funds in order to reduce the state's burden. State education advocates and the unions and state education officials are saying, you know, you should really allow schools to use these relief funds that they desperately need because they also have pandemic related expenses. And it's been, you know, really difficult. Probably like the worst job for an education reporter is looking through these like state aid runs for school districts. It's like on this PDF form, it's not searchable, and you just have to scroll and scroll and scroll, and with teeny tiny letters that hurt your eyes. But from what I can discern, and I've only been doing this for 1 year, it does seem like most larger high need city school districts in our area do have an incremental increase overall. So the state rolled back its support, but because of the combination of state and federal support, their aid amount is going to go up this year. Some of our larger suburban school districts that have fewer needs, they are going to see their aid amounts go down the coming year. And then, you know, our rural schools have it pretty difficult too, because, you know, they're not really categorized as high or low needs. They have a lot of different factors in this formula that determines if you're high or low needs, but then they've had a lot of challenges with this pandemic, and their aid is more or less staying flat. So I don't know. I think we're still seeing how it'll play out. Of course, it's just a proposed budget. There's going to be some pushback from the legislature, which I'm sure is going to advocate for more money for school districts. And, you know, what happens is they try to meet somewhere in between.
So one of the things I'm curious about is, with those schools that preemptively like cut staff, are they looking to bring them back since the funding never was cut?
Okay, so there was some funding cut, but the state cut it for the last school year. So their message is, we didn't cut anything for this year. And that's not quite true. It is true that they cut nothing from this year, but they did cut a little bit from last year. And they did already reduce state aid in the amounts that schools can anticipate they'll get from the stimulus package down the line. Most of it was restored, but not all of it. But the thing is, I think they haven't really clarified. I think the final look back was supposed to be in December. They haven't clarified or guaranteed that all the funds will be restored for the year. I think school districts get them, a lot of them, at least are, you know, Albany and Schenectady, a lot of their aid for the school year would come at the end of the year, all the way through the summer. So there's still, you know, the opportunity for the state to roll back that aid. And I think they don't want to hire teachers back and build back their programming, because it would be disruptive to have to take it down again and more expensive. But I think it's something they're open to, and they're talking to their teachers unions about. And I think they'd like to, but I think they want more assurances from the state.
Any other takeaways or when it comes to the budget and impacts to education?
I think this year is going to impact schools' budgets and the state budget for years to come. And they're going to be hammering this out. We can expect a similar conversation next year. And I think it, you know, remains to be seen how, you know, what school districts actually do with this proposal.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Capital Confidential podcast. Until next time, I'm Amanda Freeds. For more on all things New York State government and politics, visit our Capital Confidential blog at timesunion.com. Capital Confidential is a production of the Times Union. Jessica Marshall is our producer, with support from the Times Union Digital Team and the Capital Bureau. Our music is Goodwill, courtesy of David Lombardo.
If you're enjoying this podcast, Take advantage of all the times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring in you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union member today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.